hablar de este o de esta vez. Here today is trying to tell ourselves that we all know we didn't have got the value for all meeting as a limited number of venues. So we hope that this should be the first and the last. Honourable members, we would also like to apologize for the breakfast. I'm told because of that we are only giving the conference a package, which is including the tea and the lunch only. I would also like us to be brief so that you can be able to get on time or for the members to get a room on Monday at 5 o'clock. But with our meeting, we are going to take it from here now until 4 o'clock. We can be brief when we are asking a question. We all know this, but it's always need at 5 o'clock Parliament. And we are hoping that our meeting will be the informative one, and we are going, and we are preparing for the BHRR report, and we are also going to get the presentation from the AG as well as the department after lunch time. So for now, I'm going to give the opportunity to the AG. I don't know whether you have all the agenda of the meeting for today. Yes, we are going to get the briefing from the Auditor General on audit outcomes of the Department of Women in the Presidency and the Commission on Gender Equality for 2015-2016, including questions and comments. For now, I'm going to give this opportunity to the AG, so that you can start the meeting. Thank you. There is this proposal, Kashiba, I don't know whether you are prepared for this. Okay. So that means we are going to allow the AG to contact. Okay, you can, there's no problem. Can I give the, yes?
So we're on page 5 of that document, of the one, the Department of Women Analysis. It's the one that's displayed on the screen. Since that screen is very small, so I think it's easier if we look in front of us. Okay, so the table number 1 on page 5 provides members with a good idea of where the Department of Women is at. As you know, halfway through last year, they changed their APP. They changed all of their targets, and one would assume with a department that is doing that, they're doing that in order to improve their performance and achieve targets, and to address problems where targets were problematic or not achievable or not measurable. Unfortunately, what we've seen is not very improved performance from the department, and I think this has been a trend in the last 2 years, because this is the second time this has happened. So if you look in Program 1, the department performed and Borat, they achieved 75% of the targets that were in the first APP and 77% in the second APP. They spent 102% of the budget. So what you'd like to see with the department's annual report is that they're spending 100% of their budget, because it means that they've planned effectively. But you'd also like to see a similar achievement of targets. And unfortunately, across programs, that's not what we're seeing. Program number two, the performance was exceptionally bad. They achieved 1 out of 17 targets for the year, yet they spent 99.68% of the budget. And that's the program where we're seeing most of the actual activities and work of the department should be happening. In program number three, they achieved very few targets again, 14.9% of the first APP set of targets and 25% of the second APP set of targets. Yet they spent 103.58% of the budget. So over expenditure versus a lack of achievement. Of program four, we had 12 targets in the first APP and 6 in the second. They achieved 66.7% in the first APP's targets and only 50% in the second. So it's even a decrease in performance after that revised structure. They spent 82.62% of the budget for that program. So overall, when you examine all the targets that were set in this year under review, we've got 47.22% of targets achieved and a 99.61% spending on the budget. So we're not getting a good value for money. The other things that I'd like to highlight, I'm just going to refer to specific page numbers rather than go through the whole document. I haven't focused for my presentation on the auditing outcomes, but I can go through those. Safe to say that the Auditor General found that the information in the annual report is not necessarily useful or reliable, and that's a significant finding, because it means that even this information I've just discussed might not actually be useful for us to measure what the department is doing with its money. If you can turn to page 25, the heading number 6.1. What those two pictures on 6.1 on that page show you is that during the year, with the revised structuring, the department also moved money between programs, which is allowed in terms of the financial management of, the PFMA. However, the Auditor General will go on to provide more details about the way that these funds were transferred and that it wasn't always done in the correct way or in compliance with regulations. What we see with the movement of money is a move of more money towards Program 1's expenditure. Sorry that it doesn't come through very nicely if your documents are printed in black and white. Originally, Program 1 had 44% of the allocation, and after the moving of money, it had 48%. So we see money moving into the administration program, which, as members know from many years of looking at this department, is extremely top-heavy. The majority of the staff are in very high salary levels, and they're not the achieving units of the department. So on that page, the three bullet points at the bottom just give you details of where the money was moved. So they're moving money from Program 2 to Program 1 towards compensating employees. From Program 2 to Program 3, you're moving money from compensating employees to transfers and subsidies. Program 4 to Program 1, from goods and services to two separate line items. If members can look at page 26, which is the following page, the very last paragraph on page 26 details additional funding that the department got, which was specifically to address the issues of gender-based violence. This was raised in the State of the Nation priorities, and obviously members are aware it's a significant problem in South Africa. There's a bit of confusion about what the department actually did with that money. So they report that they spent 3.98 million of the 8 million budget, and that they had earmarked the rest of the funding for the activities during the 16 days of activism. These activities should already have happened in the 2015-16 year, because the 16 days of activism is in November, which is within a reporting period that the department should be able to tell us what they did with that money. So it's not clear to me in doing this analysis whether they're moving them over to this year for another 16 days or what actually happened to them funding. I'm not sure the auditor will be able to elaborate on that. Then on to heading number 6.3 on page 31. This is program two, which is the bulk of the work of the department, which we've already discussed. Of 17 targets, they only achieved one. So it's just, again, a look at where the problems were with that department. So if you look at table seven at the bottom of that page, you'll notice that two of the sub-programs do not have any budget allocated to them. So it seems very unlikely then that the department would be able to achieve anything without any staff or budget. It also reflects that some of the budget for this program involved a transfer to the CGE, which Tasneem will talk more about. They transfer the full amount quarterly, as you are all well aware. If you turn to page 33, I think the very first paragraph beneath the first block on that page details one of the main problems that we're having with the department, which has been consistent from last year's analysis, as Crystal would have explained to you. That in oftentimes the achievements of targets stall at a draft phase. So the department sets itself a number of targets like writing reports, doing an analysis, producing a monitoring tool, and if you go through the annual report, it says it's a work in progress, it's a draft, we produced a draft, or we combined it with something else. And so it's not clear where is that hold up, what are we seeing that is blocking the department from actually achieving things. I think the last two sentences of that first paragraph are really important. They couldn't achieve a target where they were required only to initiate a project. So they weren't even able to start a project, which is really concerning because, as we all know from our working life, starting a project just means holding one meeting and discussing what you're going to do, then the project has started. But the department hasn't even been able to do that. So we're seeing a significant underperformance, especially in this program. I think members should be concerned about that. And if we turn to page 46, we have another matter of concern in the department, which is their disciplinary actions during the year under review. As the auditor is going to tell you in more detail, the department had a significant amount of unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If we look at the disciplinary actions of the department, they finalized three disciplinary cases in this year. But they report that these three persons were suspended during the year, and all three of the suspensions exceeded 30 days. On page 46, an average of 296 days suspended per person, which is 9 months suspension. That's a significant amount of money to be spending on staff whilst you're investigating them. They reported that of those three cases, in two cases staff were given final written warnings, and in the third case an appeal was upheld. They also report that 12 grievances were lodged. So what we can see here is that the working environment in the department is extremely strained. Obviously, as they did the strategic review, they also restructured, and it's not clear. Or what these type of trends show us is that the staff were maybe not well consulted, and that this had negative effects. One of the common things that we see with departments is a very significant expenditure on travel and subsistence. So I just, at the end of each section, I summarize the travel and subsistence costs for each program. So I'm going to summarize them now just verbally, but you can find them at the bottom of each program's analysis. In program one, they spent 9.1 million on travel and subsistence. Program two, 1.2 million. Program three, 794,000. I'll give you the page numbers as well so you can mark them. And in program four, 2.76 million. So that's a total spending of the Department of Travel and Subsistence of 13,952,000 rand. So for a department that's not achieving any targets, they're still traveling around a fair amount, which is also something we should be asking about. What was the value in those travels? Obviously, there's things that the department is required to attend, but this also seems like quite a high figure. So those page numbers, if you'd like to note them, are page 30, 35, 39, and 43. Just want to find one last thing that I'd like to mention. Sorry, I haven't noted it. If members can turn to page 45, it's again looking at the human resources context of the department on section 7.3. The department reported that 8 employees were remunerated at salary levels higher than those determined by their job evaluations during the period under review, 6 of which were a result of organizational transformation, one because of the need to retain services, and one in order to attract services. So this is a total of 7.9% of the staff who are employed at a salary level higher than determined by those job evaluations. Now, where those employees have then moved to lower positions, this could also lead to the number of grievances that we see reported in the human resources section. People have been kept on at the department even though they're overqualified or overskilled for their current position. The final section that I'd like us to note is the very last page of the analysis, which just is a summary of things that are important. So what I think I've picked up in between Crystal's analysis from last year and my own is, as I've mentioned, we are experiencing a stall of reports at a draft phase, and this significantly affected the ability of the department to achieve their targets. So as I've mentioned, the report of the AG reveals that the information provided may not be reliable or useful. The department incurred over 8 million rand in unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless expenditure in the year under review. And in the previous financial year, they also incurred over 8 million rand, which means in the last 2 years, it's almost 17 million rand of funds that have been spent in an unauthorized, irregular, or fruitless way. So we're seeing a department that is not achieving its targets consistently and overspending in the wrong ways. The Auditor General also found the department was non-compliant with a number of regulations in the PSMA and of Treasury regulations. The majority of this budget of this department is spent on compensation of employees at a senior level, but this has not seemed to improve the achievement of targets. I think I work out in the paper that it's about one manager for every two staff. So one manager employed at a very high salary for two staff who are not achieving their programmatic goals, which shows you that that manager is not doing their job. So I think given these serious concerns, the members need to consider two questions, and these are: what strategies can be employed in the next financial year, which is already halfway through, to address these problems, and why has the department not addressed persistent problems such as stalling reports at draft phase? I think if you have any questions, I'd be happy to go through them. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present.
Good morning, my name is I'm a researcher and I'm based in the Economic Institution, but I've been asked to present this morning. So if I refer honourable members' attention to my document, specifically from page 10, it speaks to the Commission's agenda equality budget. In terms of budgetary allocation, the Commission received 7.7 billion for the period under review. In addition to this amount, the Commission
been allocated 15 minutes. I believe Kashifa is going to go into more details on top of what we said. So we're just introducing you, and Kashifa will talk. It's very far away.
Volume
some of the speakers that have gone.
So in terms of what are we doing for this presentation, is looking at the budget for the Commission for Gender Equality, and also then look at the program performance, and also raise questions that members may want to ask the Commission when it's presented. So in terms of the budget allocation, the Commission received a budget of 67.7 million rand. And
can you interrupt? What page is that?
It's on page 10. And in addition to this, the Commission received a conditional grant to the amount of 2.1 billion from National Treasury. And therefore brings the Commission's total funding to an amount of 69.7 million. And in terms of how the Commission spent this budget, 52% of its budget was spent on goods and services, while 68% of its budget was spent on employee costs. Compensation for employees amounted to 48.7 million rand, while expenditure for goods and services amounted to 22.7 million rand. Donations received by the Commission amounted to 1.5 million rand and interest income to 578,795 rand. So in terms of the overall revenue, this amounted to 71.4 million rand. And if we look at the annual report, we will see that the Commission records what seems to be an over expenditure to the amount of 3.8 million rand. This was, however, received from donations from the SABC, and it's recorded at 6% above the annual allocation to National Treasury, but it was actually received in donations. And then turning to page 11, I'm going to go into the actual program performance and highlight what was achieved, what was not achieved, and why the Commission says that it could not achieve the target. In terms of strategic objective one, we'll see that the Commission, and now turning to page 12, the Commission was supposed to host 4 policy dialogues. The Commission during this period only hosted 2 policy dialogues, one at the national level and one at the provincial level. The Commission, in fact, in its annual report, notes that the reason for not meeting the target was the inability to secure a date. If one looks at questions that the members may put to the CGE, it also speaks to the Commission's inability to execute proper planning measures or put proper planning measures in place. If we turn to page 13 under strategic objective 2, we see that the Commission had 8 targets under that strategic objective, but only 6 were achieved. In terms of the targets that were not achieved, the Commission was supposed to of systemic investigations and report on at least 2 investigations. The Commission only conducted 1 investigation. This was on the transformation of the judiciary. Therefore, the 2, the 3 others that were not completed was the one on sex work and gender and mental health. In terms of
the engagement with traditional leadership, I see that in the annual report, the Commission actually notes that they achieved this target. But just as a matter of interest to members and what members may want to put to the Commission, is that in terms of its baseline target, it set the target at 9. However, in the annual report, it reports that it met 7 targets, which is not what is indicated in the baseline report. So even though the Commission notes that it achieved this target, it is not what the baseline indicates. So the committee should seek clarity from the Commission in terms of why only 7 targets were met when it was supposed to meet 9 targets. And then in terms of investigation of complaints, I know that in terms of this, the Commission overachieved. In other words, they attended to 1,143 complaints, and that is essentially achieved. But what I wanted to bring to the attention of the honourable members is that in the annual report, the Commission doesn't give an indication of how many cases were carried over from the previous year. Also, the Commission doesn't elaborate on what it means by files closed. In other words, it may very well be that the Commission has received a complaint, opened a file, but then has referred the matter to a relevant structure, or has just closed the case based on the fact that it's not within the Commission's mandate. So in terms of looking at the specific performance when the Commission dealt with investigations, I think that members should be aware that it does not necessarily mean that cases were open or that they were closed, that it was actually dealt by the Commission. So possibly ask the Commission what they mean by file closed and what their intervention strategies were in terms of these cases. Then in terms of strategic objective number 3, the Commission has met all its targets. If one moves to strategic objective number 4, which is on page 16, the Commission has targets, and it met 21 of these. The unmet targets relate to the 20-year review of the Commission on its achievements and failures since its inception, the organizational culture audit, which was noted as partially achieved, and the link between ICT business applications to the revised business plan, which was also noted as partially achieved. Possible questions that members could consider asking the Commission when it begins is why the 24-year review was not completed. Also, what the main challenges were in terms of completing that review. So that relates to the yes, on the one last. The 20-year review on the achievements and failures of the Commission for the 20 years. So possibly members could ask the Commission why it has not achieved that target. Then in terms of programmatic information, which is related to human resources, page 17 of my document, one issue that I wanted to bring to the attention of members is that the Commission note that there are 2 employees who have been subject to disciplinary hearings. The Commission doesn't elaborate as to what the contents of those disciplinary hearings are or at what stage the disciplinary hearing is at. So members may want to interrogate the Commission on this issue. The second issue relates to the vacancy rate. Human Resources Department at the national level pegs the vacancy rate to 50%. While research is at 33%. Members may want to ask the Commission why there is this high level of vacancy within the Commission at the national level, whether exit interviews have been conducted, and whether the commission has a sense as to why so many vacancies are recorded over the period. Also, members may wish to ask the commission whether it has any retention strategies in place so that staff may stay on at the commission. Then in terms of financial information, which is still on page 17 of my document, I'm sure that the Auditor General will speak to much of it. But one issue that was noted in the annual report is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 245,649 rand was used or misused on staff 3G cards. Other than that, there's no other issues that were raised. Then in terms of additional observations, which is just a broad overview of what how the commission has performed. In total, the commission had 45 targets, of which 39 were met. And members may want to also consider what was noted in the previous report in terms of the commission's ICT risk factors. And that's it.
Thank you. Let me give Kashiva an opportunity. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, members. I'm going to be presenting from, are you able to hear me clearly?
Yes.
So my document looks at our BOR education. And one, we reflect on what members have recommended last year, what is actually done for the period 2015-16, and then taking the annual report into consideration. So on the first page of my document, which is the briefing document BOR 2016, key issues for consideration. Have all members received a copy? I think it's important for us to understand where we are in this five-year cycle. We're halfway through, and that's very important. We've had 14-15 and 15-16. So now, as we've already considered in the 16-17 annual performance plan, and why am I putting this into context? It's for us to understand that when we look at the department's strategic priorities and what they've decided they're wanting to do for the 5 years, they've halfway through, they've defined the APP several times, how far have we come? And when we think of our BRR and for the next year, 2.5 years that's left, what would we propose that needs to be different in order to be able to assist the department to deliver? And for us to undertake more stringent oversight in areas where the AG and the Audit Committee has recommended as well. So on page 2 of my document, I've covered some of the key points in time which members need to bear in mind. The key issue the department always knows is this is a new department. So be that as it may, we've listed, you were established in 2014, but we're halfway through. Halfway through, what are we expected to have seen and where are we heading to? And that's again to put issues into context. In terms of change in strategic direction, I think this is particularly important. This department inherited the administration program and the wage program of the previous Department of Human Children and Persons with Disabilities. So in 2014, with the in-house process, we were told, give us time, we need to look at restructuring, we need to reallocate staff. So we allowed for that. We allowed staff to move, functions to change. In the following year, we were told, give us time to re-look at job evaluation, looking at an service improvement plan. What I captured in the table on page 3 and going over to page 4 is to look at, technically, the administration program has just about remained the same. Program 2 has changed. And what Jennifer notes in her document is the importance around program 2 and the name changes, and also the sub-programs. And why is this important? Because if the program has changed and the names have changed, the targets have changed, estimates, you would find it incredibly difficult to do a year-on-year comparison. Because you're dealing with apples and pears. How do you begin to compare from 1 year to the second year to the third year when the program has changed as well as the target? So the intention of the department's mission and vision is still commendable, but for us to conduct oversight, how do we begin to evaluate when these critical things have changed? You'll also note what I've highlighted is in terms of targets achieved for each of the years. In 16-17, the last column, the members will note that we did have a quarterly report briefing. And what we see in that quarterly report briefing is the performance was poor. So for quarter one, we already begin to see that the department is still struggling. So that by targets which they haven't met from the previous year, which they carried over, and then in quarter one, they still struggling for targets which they haven't met, which they will now need to carry over to quarter two. Turning to page 5, I think the issue around the strategic priorities is when you look at the vision and mission of a department, they're very clear in what they would like to do, where they would like to go. But it's for us to ask, when you look at Jennifer's document and she details each and every program achievement, how does that take us closer to the department to achieve its strategic priorities and mission and vision? Again, the strategic priorities for the next 5 years, if we only look at the year under review, technically you can say the report on the status of women kind of spoke to four net strategic priorities. But going forward, what do we need to do differently? Will this department be able to achieve those strategic priorities within the 5 years? If we move over to page 6, looking just at some matters for oversight, I think we should consider asking the department to look at presenting all the findings around analysis, monitoring and evaluation. Bearing in mind the department receives are not a service delivery agent, so this committee is actually dependent on a report from the department that says, we've done this campaign, we've done this event, we've done this analysis. Without that physical document, it was really very difficult for the committee to say how they feel and performed when in their quarterly reports they only state where they've gone and what they've done, but we don't have the evidence. We have requested that the department actually submit documents to the committee. Like the CGE, CGE has been very good. The moment they do a report, they refer it to the committee for consideration and it's tabled. The department should be encouraged to do the same. So that's the physical evidence for which the committee would have to evaluate what the department is doing. Monitoring and evaluation frameworks, this is key. How can we not have monitoring and evaluation framework halfway through a five-year cycle to look at the most fundamental issue for why the department is established? We need to be pushing for finalizing the monitoring evaluation framework as well as the gender budgeting framework. In terms of, we will look further into the events and campaigns. The department has been very good. We requested that they submit to the committee in their presentation what are the events and how much they spend. They will talk to us this afternoon about all the events they've been to and the cost incurred. And that's a good starting point. Yes, it's a year down the line and we're reflecting back, but I think the information has been given and we should commend the department for submitting that information. In terms of strategic priorities for 16-17, as we move from page 6 to 7, in the minutes forward, she highlights particular priorities. But if you think about what Jennifer has just presented in terms of the annual report, and we reflect on quarter one, which was about 3 weeks ago, we begin to question if a disjunction between what the minister is proposing should be done and what the reality is of what's coming through, both in the annual report and in quarter one. There's a disjunction. We need to find out what needs to be done differently. Who's not doing what they're supposed to do? Policy matters. In terms of page 7, NDP, and page 8, so the department will highlight where it links to particular chapters in the NDP and MTS archives. Again, if you look at Jennifer's document and the analysis she's undertaken, if you just focus on the targets achieved, how have those targets taken us closer to achieving your NDP priority, your goal, and your MTS outcome? I've highlighted some of the outcomes on page 8. Jane's document actually details more around the MTS outcome. National Gender Policy Framework. Why am I putting this down as a policy matter? If the department has policy imperatives, the policy imperative of the Department of Women, the guiding overarching policy is the National Gender Policy Framework. Members will recall in your 15-16 year, you had numerous departments present you and engage them on oversight. All of them referred to the National Gender Policy Framework. Either that it works or not works, whether they don't know about it. But in this annual report, nothing mentioned of it. So again, where's the book that helps guide departments to be able to implement this overarching gender policy? And again, it's to find out, are they looking at how it synergizes with the NDP, SDG 20, Agenda 2063? And that's important, because a policy guides direction for a department. So remember, a monitoring and evaluation framework and a gender responsive budgeting framework can only be located in something, and what is that something? It's outlined for our department of the policy, the National Gender Policy Framework. In terms of achievements, I'm literally just focused on achievements, and you probably ask why. It's to juxtapose looking at the achievements, what did we get out of that? If we look on page 10, so the administration program always performed very well, 20 out of 26, and we spent over 84 million. There's an over expenditure of 1.9. But when you look at the target, which Jennifer also detailed in a report, for me, there's some questions that should be asked. Firstly, some of the targets seem to be repeated. And yes, there was a revised APP, but if the same target is repeated in the first and the second APP, surely you can't hear it twice. That doesn't add up, and maybe when we the age is discussed, we can begin to engage. But for two ATPs, you're basically repeating the same set of targets. So are we not doubling the amount of targets we've actually achieved? And I think that requires some bit of discussion. What I highlighted on page 11, that even though there was no performance reward given, I do note that there was promotion by critical occupation. Again, that's on page, I've highlighted, I think it was page 61, no, 74 to 75. Again, between those two tables, it's to ask on what basis were these promotions done. And the Auditor General, as we, just before we started, discussed a bit about maybe it was about the year-on-year public service increase. But again, it's to ask if 61 people within the staff complement had promotion by salary notch, what does that mean? If we move over to page 12, again, I'm literally just focusing on the achievements. Just to note the answers, the first circle on the left-hand side is not seen with the program change. Now, SDPE. But again, just looking at what they've achieved. Program 2, they spent 83 million, they achieved one target. And what was that? An analysis of intervention mechanism. We still don't have a report on that. Program 3, over 7 million, you achieved 2 targets. What did you get out of those 2 targets? One, report on the status of women. And the second one is a research strategy. We got the first report, we don't have the research strategy. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, we spent 12 million, so we achieved 11 out of 19 targets. But when you look at the targets, communication strategy has been repeated, as well as outreach initiatives. So again, as I alluded to earlier on, because of the revised APP, they count the targets again. And for me, that's requiring clarity from the department. So the department's been very good in the presentation that they submitted. They would outline all the events and campaigns and the cost. But I think we want something more. And the something more is, what was the outcome? What was the impact targeted beneficiaries? Because that's our measure of evaluating the department's performance. So on page 5, this captures what the committee had recommended previously in terms of your BRR 2015. And I look at what happened during the year with outcome programs and challenges, and then some commentary from the AG and the Audit Committee report. I'm just going to pick up some of the issues. Audit Action Plan. The department presents to us the improved audit plan. So we follow through with the AG's recommendation in getting the department to tell us how they're going to remedy the situation. But they've done that. However, the Auditor General will tell us that there is insufficient monitoring of this audit plan. So this is this juncture between what the department is then telling us in their quarterly report, have a plan they implement, so it gives us the impression that it's being monitored. But the AG will let members know that in actual fact the monitoring evaluation is poor. Moving on to financial performance, again, in terms of India monitoring reports, the department is very good. They submitted to us all their quarterly reports. We got documents, they gave us the finances, they spoke to us about programs. But again, this is this juncture, because if we look at their poor performance versus what they're presenting, the two don't carry. So what do we need to do differently in our oversight during the year? Because we are asking them details around targets and non-performance and remedies to bring about change. In terms of the risk management, so the department reported to us that they had risk management control during the quarterly report. But again, this is in contrast to what the AG is saying. And the reason I'm bringing up our quarterly briefing is to indicate to members that all the questions you were required to ask, you did ask of the department. And what we were informed versus what we're seeing now seems to be in contradiction to each other. In terms of spending trends on page 16, there again, as Jennifer mentioned around shifts in funds, here I remember clearly from the start on and the reflection of the report that the committee had noted. Administration program is too bold. We need to look at how to support the full program. I wasn't at the National Treasury briefing, but from the minutes which I saw, Treasury indicated to members there is no reason why money can't be allocated to support the whole program. It doesn't mean the administration program has to suffer. And I think we need to explore that option more. Because with the buy-in, even though the whole program is already funded, most of the time we're back to administration. In terms of HR, we have vacancies. They told us exactly during the year where the vacancies are. In terms of the skills audit, they indicated that we've done. They got an external consultancy, and in the presentation to us, they actually noted the cost of that consultation, and that they were going to put training into place. and that 500 people were in the right place. But again, this is in contradiction to what Jenna just presented around targets achieved and targets not achieved. Moving on to page 18. And in terms of governance, again, the issue of supply chain management, unauthorized and regulated expenditure, fruitful and wasteful expenditure, the committee has consistently asked and engaged with the CFO and the DG for every quarter. What are the issues? How is it being dealt with? Nowhere were we informed of any major concerns or alarms that we should be looking at in more detail. Again, if we look at the AG report and what the audit committee is saying, they picked up problems. So there's a disjuncture here. The issue for me around the internal audit is to ask the internal audit committee met. They made recommendations. But why were these recommendations implemented? Because if they're picking up issues, why were these issues addressed? Just to follow on around the investigative report, I think they said the AGE indicated that report is concluded. We need to find out what the outcomes of that report was. In the previous briefing to us, they said they were just about finalizing that. Again, SMART principle. The committee has consistently said the targets need to be more SMART. So it's not something the department is unaware of. We've raised our concerns consistently. Collaboration. I think the key issue is here, reflecting back on our oversight and engagement with various departments. We've come to see that the relationship with the department is usually around a specific event. And even though the department is indicating that they will work collaboratively with other entities and departments and stakeholders, what does that collaboration actually entail? For example, picking up in the Department of Social Development annual report for this year, DSDC awareness campaign specifically the level of municipalities, and they're also looking at the policy around prevention around violence. So again, it's to ask, our department is also doing work around this. What is the collaboration and what does that entail? About sharing resources. I think just to pick up on the last issue around the events and campaign, I would agree with Jane. We need to understand more around the additional funding that was allocated to gender-based violence. What was spent, what was it actually spent on? Was bearing in mind in program 4 around stakeholder coordination, would have money have allocated for a particular target and campaign? But technically, there are two pots of money. What was spent by who and for what? And just the last 3 points, page 24 and 25, again around the gender response budgeting. This is a target that's actually been ongoing for the past 2 years. For 2 years, we've been told it's in the process. In the presentation to the committee for this afternoon, the department to say they're still in consultation. We need to push for the things to be finalized. It took the NDP to be developed, consulted, and dialogued nationally within 2 years and it's implemented. We're only looking at two things, the gender response budgeting framework and the monitoring and evaluation framework. That's kind of a quarter of the pie of the entire NDP which was done in 2 years and implemented. Something needs to shift. Gender focal point, again, is to think back to our engagement with the Department of Public Services and Administration. They were very clear as to what the issue was and what needs to change. And it went back to the gender policy framework, because that's what the department was using to appoint and decide on the location of gender focal points. I think with treaty compliance, they presented CEDAW, we just need to check. And they told us it's their responsibility to lodge. We need to find out what that report lodged. And if they're going to be appearing before the committee that deals with CEDAW, if so, when? something around related to this policy report. They've done this analysis on intervention mechanisms for skilling women and young women. We just need to get that support. So that in summary looks mainly at the department's relation to VMR. With CGE, such team has done a marvelous job, as well as Jenny in terms of the department. We don't have to worry that much about CGE, except to say that early warning signs are important to us around their finances. And we need to ask them when they engage with such a model, how are they looking subsequent to their presenting and able to assess the outstanding matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to Kashima. Members, I want to get a guidance from you whether we should take the presentation from the AG, thereafter we come to the question. Okay, we give the AG the opportunity, but firstly, before they give us the presentation, I would like to give you the apologies. We only have apologies from Honorable Van der Merwe and Honorable Dave. And we, honorable members, we also have our new member, Ms. Ntembo, Nobukanya Ntembo, because Honorable Machoba has been moved to permanently to the portfolio communication, so portfolio committee of communications. And the other thing is around the issue of VIP campaigns on sanitary towels. You remember, members, that we're supposed to meet them today, but we have given them the date on for Thursday. But we have applied for the meeting or for this, but we are still waiting for confirmation. I would like to give the AG, thereafter we are going to ask the question from the members. Thank you, over to you. Okay, we were supposed to have a meeting with the VIP. Campaigns on sanitary towels. There was an NGO that was going to make the presentation on the VIP campaign on sanitary towels today. But we have given them the other date, which is supposed to be Thursday, but we have applied for Thursday to have a meeting on Thursday morning. Even now, we have not yet got the confirmation for the meeting, but we are going to give you.
Basically report against the development framework for those particular entities. down to your department, that's your modified cash standard and your entity, that's your GRAP standard. With regard to your performance information, we only report basically on material findings in relation to usefulness and reliability of those performance reports. We don't issue or any sort of confirmation with regard to service delivery. So what we do with regard to performance information is we look at your annual performance plan and we see whether the indicators, targets, and objectives contained therein are useful, and then we then see whether what you reported are firstly consistent with what was initially in your plan, and then whether they are supported by reliable evidence. The third area that we look at is compliance. In terms of compliance, we don't issue a conclusion yet, but we still also report material findings of compliance with in how the entity performed throughout the year, whether it be in the compiling of the performance reports or the financial statements or the general daily day-to-day operations as well. I'm not going to go through all five outcomes. I'm going to just focus on these two because all our entities fall within these two categories. The first one, CGE falls in that category, is a clean audit outcome. In that category, basically, you have produced quality financial statements, which we didn't have to go back and ask you to revisit or to change anything in those. So the ones which you submitted to us on the 31st of May were of good quality and were aligned to the framework that you need to report on. Then you also were able to give us performance information that was credible and reliable and useful, and you did so in compliance with all relevant regulations. So we didn't have any material findings on the financial statements, your compliance, or your performance information. That's where the CGE falls in. Then we come to the yellow category. That's where our department falls in, and the department has come in that category for the last 3 years. Last 5 years, in fact. So we can see that the fund has actually become complacent and hasn't actually made any significant progress towards coming into the green category. In that yellow category, normally your financial statement, the final product, is terrible and reliable, but it might have taken initiatives from the auditors to get them there, and additionally you will have problems with usefulness and reliability of the performance information as well as compliance. Go to the next slide. Right, so here we have the overall picture of the outcome for the portfolio. If you look at the first one, you can see the improvement in the portfolio where in the past 2 years, the Commission for Gender Equality was also in the yellow category, where in the current year, the 2015-16 financial year, we moved to we obviously need to congratulate the Commission on achieving this green audit, which you just have, just maybe a word of warning, that in achieving that green audit, we did have a lot of repeat findings. They weren't material enough to impact on your audit report, but they were there, and we just need to really keep an eye on those findings and actually address those findings so that you don't slip back into the yellow category. But for the 2015-16 financial year, they obtained the green audit and have objected. With regard to the Department of Women, you can see, like I said before, they've stayed in the yellow category for the 3 years and the 2 preceding years before that. And the reason that they have not been able to move from the yellow to the green is in terms of your compliance area. The first one is the quality of the financial statements that they submitted on the 31st of May for auditing were not up to standard. It took a lot of intervention and a lot of work from the auditors to get them to set of financial statements that were unqualified. Secondly, the two maybe talked to each other in terms of the procurement and contract management, so they were not compliant in that environment that led to them incurring irregular people's expenditure. So those are the areas in terms of compliance that affected the audit report. And then in terms of your performance information. I know the colleague earlier mentioned something with regard to the reliability of the information. In fact, we didn't have any issues with regard to the reliability of the information produced by the Department of Women. Our only concerns were actually with regard to the plan and the performance report and the consistency between the two. But where they provided evidence, we were able while that is negative. The problem with performance information was just the consistency between the plan and the end of performance report. I think in that case, it was a strategic objective that we included in the performance report were not included in the initial plan. That was our issue with regard to performance information. But there were no issues with the reliability. I just wanted to get that part. Can you move on? Okay.
So now,
this particular slide talks to the key control environment. It talks to what is or what hasn't been going right and what needs to be addressed in terms of getting the department and the department to a clean administration and CTE to maintain its clean administration. So if we look at the, I'm just going to focus on the red block. With regard to oversight responsibility in terms of senior management and leadership, why we've made it red is because the same issues that were there for the last 3-4 years are currently still there. So initially when we picked up those issues, we would have focused more in terms of your, not at leadership level, but at your implementation level, which is your financial and management reporting. But once those matters start to occur consistently, it becomes a leadership issue, because now leadership are not taking the necessary steps to address those matters. So in that case, it's your same thing as we've gone before, the quality of your financial statement, compliance with laws and regulations, particularly in the area of procurement, and then also the prevention of irregular expenditure. One also contributes, and you'll see it will probably follow in the next few slides, is your consequence management for those particular actions. So with regard to your financial statements, the fact that you are producing financial statements that are not of the necessary quality, there's been no action taken against them, or no one has been accountable for them. And then in terms of your irregular expenditure, you've noted that in the current year there was, in the prior year there was quite a bit of irregular expenditure incurred, but in the current year there was no investigation undertaken to identify who was accountable, and then the necessary disciplinary action taken. So consequence management in terms of all your aspects, whether it's your financial statements and your compliance with regulations, we haven't seen significant consequences over there. Then the next one talks to your preparation of your financial statement. We have discussed on that. In order for this department to get an unqualified report, it needed to have made adjustments to the report that they actually submitted. So in that area, you need to have adequate review of all your reports before they actually come to the auditor. That also entails that your supporting schedules need to be reported, reviewed adequately. I'm not sure, but quite a few areas, maybe we didn't explain on it, there was quite a few areas where we needed to make adjustments in order to get those financial statements to be unqualified. Then if you look at the assurance providers on the other side, it talks directly to those key controls. Where you see senior management and accounting officer being in red in terms of how we've assessed them in terms of assurance. Basically for the same exact reasons that the action plan that they are implementing, although the action plan may be sound, they're not being implemented and monitored properly to address the findings, and then also your consequence management is not being properly implemented. With regard to internal audit, why we've given them limited assurance is they've audited the same area that we've audited, and they've not identified the same findings, especially in the areas of procurement and contract management. So the objectives are not very different between internal audit and us auditors with regard to contract management, but we've identified the irregular expenditure where it wasn't identified by internal audit. So they are covering the errors that they need to cover, it's just that they might not be as effective as they need to be. I think in terms of this one, we've touched on already, it's just the areas where material findings were found with regard to performance information. If you look at the blocks in red, the two with the light in there, the 38% and the 33%, they both deal in the prior year and the current year with consistency issues between your performance plan and your performance report. Like I said earlier, we don't have any issues with the reliability of the performance information. So any achievements reported or not reported, we were able to trace them back to supporting the evidence and we were happy with that. Okay. So now we come through to your areas of non-compliance. You'll see that those are the same three areas that we've been focusing on: the material adjustments to your financial statement, the prevention of irregular expenditure, and compliance with procurement laws and regulations. You can see that in the prior year, that was the area where CGE also had difficulties, procurement and contract management, and the result of irregular expenditure, where in the current year that was addressed by the CGE. And that table also just emphasizes that had we not allowed them to make those adjustments, they would have been then qualified. That would be the department of government. The quality of the financial statements for CGE, both in the prior year and in the current year, was to the standard that is required. Okay. Now, if we go into the details of the regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and unauthorized expenditure, you'll see that in the last 3 years, two of those years, the department had incurred unauthorized expenditure. That unauthorized expenditure is because they overspent on, not as a whole for the department, but they had 99% spending, but one specific program. I think in the current year it was program 1 in 3. And then with regard to the fruitless expenditure, the fruitless expenditure was regarding the salaries for those employees that were special leave for 6 months, but that 6 months is up until 31st of March. They obviously have subsequently still been on the special leave, and that figure would then have grown, but that 2 million is just up until 31st of March 2016. It must be noted that the regular expenditure identified of 14 million. I think 7 billion of that negative expenditure in the current year was identified by the auditors, and also the remaining 5 billion that was identified by the Department of Human was actually as a result of irregular expenditure identified by the auditors in the prior year. So it was just a follow-up of that. So you can see that not only is the department not preventing irregular expenditure, the controls to detect irregular expenditure are also not working. So this is what was, especially in the area. Look, in terms of for your tenders, we normally test all of it. So it's a figure that you can rely on, that all of that is irregular. But with regard to quotations, what we sampled, we were able to pick up quite a few deviations from your procurement compliance. And there might be more procurement compliance deviations that were not identified. And the department mechanisms themselves are not sufficient to identify those instances of irregular expenditure. The most significant amount or non-compliance is in terms of not going through competitive bidding when they should be going through competitive bidding, or not obtaining the minimum number of quotations that they need to obtain. Okay, we touched on this earlier. Investigation into previously identified irregular expenditure. That wasn't evidence that the department in the country, although there was significant irregular expenditure identified in the prior year. Okay, then again, we're just emphasizing here with regard to the root causes that we've identified. The two most significant root causes that we've identified is the slow response from management. That is, in basically with regard to your action plan, we've seen that in the department of a woman, there have been a lot of repeat findings, and a lot of repeat findings that found their way into the audit report. But similarly, with regard to CGE, although none of the findings were material enough to come back into the audit report, is I think it was about 50% of the findings that we've identified in 2014-15 were still prevalent in 2015-16. They might not have, for instance, your controls in terms of your contract management. might not necessarily have resulted in illegal expenditure, but it could easily in future years result in illegal expenditure. It's something that management needs to be alert of and address properly so that they can maintain their clean audit figure. Then if we move on to commitments from the minister, we have three commitments. Two of them are previous commitments and one in blue is a new commitment. The first one with regard to engagements with the audit committee, that one has been implemented. I think in the previous year there were four engagements between the minister and the audit committee. The next one is with regard to performance management. It's in progress to and has been implemented to a certain extent. We know that some of the senior management have in their performance contracts what measures that we refer to for an outcome, but it's not been consistently implemented. It's still a work in progress. And the third one refers to continuous reporting of performance and financial information to the minister. And then the last block is the commitment that we wish to get from the committee today. There are three commitments. It's basically with regard to monitoring of the action plan. So with regard to monitoring of the action plan, we want the committee to get tangible evidence of the actions that have been implemented. So it shouldn't be that, yes, we've done it, or we've done 40% of it, or whatever. If the department says we've implemented this action, then give us evidence of that action that is being implemented. Secondly, it's also what we do, obviously, do key controls with the department on a key on a quarterly basis, and if the committee should probably try and get commitments from those actions and also with regard to key commitments. And the last one is just monitoring the consequence management in the department or and whether the investigations are taking place in a timely manner when it comes to irregularities and wasteful expenditure. I think that's the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. AG. I think honourable members, let us take a 10-minute break, a fresh tea outside, then we come back for questions.
Thank you. Yes. I prendete del progetto.
Initially, I was to land down there in parking it.
Was going to
be. It was going to be. It was going to be if ever placed okay where then each and every committee member would be put from the island.
We don't know what to end up in the show.
In the way of the stress, no stress, I make sure if you're going to be done, I'm done. Baba Yandi, better than the shadow of the
city.
Now, at the office.
Now, you've been issued with a summons after being charged with fraud.
So by tomorrow, oh, this you're joking. Have they arrested him or issued him with summons? And then the rent.
Because he's black or dark.
Tim, we are. I'm not sure if she's not here. I don't even know her, madam.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Oh, she's.
Oh, so she's a new member.
I think so. Yeah, I don't know her face, but.
And then the one who's left. Also, she actually isn't here today.
No, she can't be here.
Okay. I'm not sure about who else is here.
Absent is here.
Okay. Alright. Okay, so she's the acting chair.
She's absent. She's here.
Okay.
She's no longer. I'm not sure she's here.
And you say she's no longer in the government?
I don't know what's happening with her. I can't tell. I can't say yes or no.
Okay, no problem.
I've never seen. I'm supposed to have 11, but at 7.
Okay. So the meeting that you said is going to be for Thursday,
no.
They have a scheduled it. Yeah.
One of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
In the last
hour,
We asked for 25 people. I'm not sure if for AG they're going to stay. I'm not sure if she. I'm sure they'll be busy. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Honourable members, we are back now. Let us proceed with our meeting. I'm going to take the question of clarity or seeking measure, and we also give the, or we will ask the question based on all the four presentations. But each member, if they can indicate which presentation is the question based on. Honorable Seke. Anyone with a question?
Out of all the departments in the, you know, in the country, and it's a very small department. So basically that's my question, because we've been raising these issues, you know, what we are raising now, we have seen them in the first 2016, 2017 first quarterly report, second quarterly report, so some of the things we raised in them, but it seems that there's no improvement. So I'm not quite sure. And you are in the
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask a question. I think you can slide a page on say that although the city deals with this, I mean, immaterial findings, it will be difficult to maintain the audit outcomes if not addressed. What are these immaterial findings that you can find out? And then the other question is, reflect on top of that one, since the department needs to implement internal controls that will prevent and detect non-compliance with key legislation. Management are required to strengthen the review process to ensure that controls are working as intended. If management is required to strengthen and there is always these internal controls that they are able to manage, who are these people? Who are these managers? Once we know who are these managers, we will find out if there's any performance contract with them. If there are no performance contracts, it means that there is no consequences for them. So the DG must take responsibility because she's the accounting officer. And then you go to the other one, it's the sixth slide, the same page, sixth slide. It says the DOW. FDOW Limited Assurance was provided by senior management. The accounting officer and internal audit, due to an increased finding relating to non-compliance with key legislation. This is due to the lack of review and monitoring process as well as consistent management process. Internal audit processes fail to identify the material non-compliance. This internal audit has they are appointed by the department and they are not doing their jobs. Why are they not fired? You see? So as it goes back to what my colleague has said, that if the department is never given a disclaimer, it will never even get in fact. You have internal auditors that are supposed to ring bells all the time before you even come in, but these internal auditors are just sitting there, you know, without warning anybody. So why do we still continue paying them? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you to the department. What I would like to find out, first of all, is, you know, the department, we're just discussing this, that the department, the new department, and some of the employees were shifted, and eventually leading to vacancies that need to be filled. But yet we are seeing poor performance as compared to what we the previous administration, So my question now is basically who is in the department now? Are they people qualified? Did you look at their CVs? Especially when you're talking about their auditing committee, how you know, like what qualifications they have. Has anyone looked at them? Maybe as a department, maybe we should look at that and see, you know, why is it that they are not performing? I think those people, because they are paid in a scale to very high scale, and you would expect them to be able to perform. And also, I don't know how you actually managed to get to mention, because I think she mentioned that the programs themselves, that program two, the sub-programs two and three, they've changed. So makes it very difficult to be able to measure. And what leverage do they have to actually change? Just because the new department, that's why they can just jump and change as they go, because they're not meeting the target, then they change their sub program. They're not meeting the target, then they change the program. What is it? What informs them to change the program? But are there any rules that prevent them? Because now, today, the change of that program is not something, or the program itself, it's not something that is discussed with the committee. They decide, they come, they present, and then sometimes they don't even tell you that they change the program, or the program itself. So, how do we guard against that? Also, the issue of, you know, like, I just want to reemphasize. Unqualified report. What is it that you look for to give a department an answer? What determines
when I went through the presentation, I didn't focus on the qualification area, the disclaimer and the error. Maybe I should just maybe take it through the outcomes themselves. If we go to page 5 and 6 of the handout, basically with regard to a qualified opinion, we have a materiality threshold that we start off with in the start of the audit, and it's based on what we feel users of your financial statements will deem material. And if you have any errors in your financial statements that are above that materiality that we've set, then it would result in a qualified opinion. But now, what happens especially with regard to the Department of Movement, like we said earlier, why they were able to get an unqualified opinion and not a qualified opinion is because subsequent to them providing their financial statements on 31st of May, the auditors then audited, identified errors, and management were then allowed to go and correct the financial statements. So after the corrections to the financial statements, they were now a fair presentation of what the operations of the entity were. So had they not been allowed to do those corrections, they would have been a qualified opinion. The standards, the auditing standards do allow for management to go and revisit their financial statements, so we have to audit in terms of those standards. What we then do is we emphasize in terms of the audit report, we put a paragraph there that says the quality of your financial statements were not up to standard, and because of audited information, that is why you got unqualified. That paragraph forms part of our non-compliance paragraph, and it is included in the audit report of the Department of Movement.
What about the
In terms of the unauthorized expenditure, which has been a problem in the department for quite a while now, the problem from where we sit is we can't dictate how they spend the money or what consequence management to implement. We can only advise that you need to put in consequence management or put in these controls. But when it comes, for instance, to unauthorized expenditure, we identify that unauthorized expenditure has been there, and if the department then goes and accurately records it and reports on it, and that's where our work ends, because we must make sure that what the department reports is accurate. So if they've not reported the unauthorized expenditure, then we would have a qualification or worse. But if the department incurs unauthorized or irregular environment and they report on it as it happened and the reporting of it is accurate, then that's where our mandate stops.
Honourable Member, because you were responding to the question.
Number three, the same respect to the key legislation on
asking the whole outcome itself. Just in terms of going further with regard to a disclaimer that we were talking about earlier, I will find it in that regard. It's just that in terms of a disclaimer, if they don't give me anything to order, that's when I can issue a disclaimer of opinion. But if I get a report, then I will have to issue it and just say whether it's accurate or not. That's what I was saying. If we have misstatements in the financial, so if they've given us something but we know it's incorrect, we can say it's a qualification. But like I said, the standards do allow that we have to allow management to go and revisit their what is submitted to us. And in a lot of instances we've identified the misstatement, they will go and correct those misstatements and do a little bit of revisiting of the population, come back, and when we test the case, then those errors are no longer prevalent. So that's why they've been able to get an unqualified report. Whereas if it was, in order to issue an adverse opinion or a disclaimer of opinion, it has to be everything in your financial statement, or basically everything in your financial statement, is not actually accurate. So you report in one when it's actually supposed to be two. I'm just going to jump around with regard to the questions. With regard to the last question that came in terms of determining which legislation they should comply with and implement those policies and procedures. I'll give you an example, for instance. This year, the department incurred, I'm not sure exactly how much, it was about 2 million rand with regard to the sector, designated sector compliance issues. So with regard to those, what we say is management should keep up to date with what regulations are applicable to them. So in terms of that particular legislation, they need to know that they need to advertise that so much local content needs to be used and then measure them in terms of those local content requirements. Whereas management didn't always do that. So if you don't keep up to date with your legislation, which is applicable in your environment, and then update your policies and your procedures in terms of those legislations, you always could be irregular expenditure or whatnot. So whatever update, any new update in terms of legislation that are applicable to that to the department, the responsible manager must update the requested policy. That's what I said. And I'm going to go to the question regarding immaterial findings with CTE. You'll see in the past 2 years, CGE didn't get a clean audit basically because they had irregular expenditure, which was as a result of non-compliance with procurement legislation. And then in the current year, they didn't have any irregular expenditure because they were able to update the judgments and do the necessary review that they were able then not to incur any irregular expenditure, so we didn't have any non-compliance. But there are certain controls in the, for instance, the procurement environment that they can strengthen, which will ensure that they maintain the clean audit status. So for instance, it might be things that don't necessarily now need your audit report, but it's a control issue. So it's maintenance of your contract register or your supplier database or I'm not sure what the other ones. So they're not audit report matters, but they could, if you don't look at it properly, result in irregular expenditure in the next year. So for instance, with a contract register, if you don't know your contract is going to be ending at this point, you don't have the necessary procurement plan in place to address that, then you might go extend your contract, which could result in irregular expenditure next year. It didn't occur in this year, but those controls just need to be strengthened so in future it doesn't happen. But for the current year, you need to commend them that they didn't have irregular expenditure, they haven't reported. It's just that they must just address the findings so that they stay in there. Then with regard to who are the managers that are responsible for the irregular expenditure. I think in our presentation we did say we had a lot of irregular expenditure last year. We didn't do the necessary investigations to identify is someone responsible for it and then hold a person accountable. So the first step needs to be, okay, you have all of the list of irregular expenditure. For each case of irregular expenditure, you need to go into an investigation to see was it the case of someone purposely overriding the legislation, or was it just maybe a case of you need the necessary training for updating the legislation with your, what is the root cause, and is, who is responsible for that root cause. So step one is to do the investigation. Internal audit, that's a hard one, in the sense that, yes, I think in our case, the non-compliances were blatant. It was, they should have gone out of competitive bidding, but they didn't go out of competitive bidding. It's something that internal audit should have picked up on. So from our role, it is, okay, it takes you to the accounting officer. Your internal audit is not enabling you as it should be enabling you, but these are things that they should be picking up, and they've not picked up. So like I said, our role is more to enable the audit committee in that case, because internal audit reports to your audit committee. So give them the tools to say, this is what your internal audit should be picking up on. They should be focusing on this area. And then when they design a plan for the next year or evaluate the audit committee's internal audit performance, and they can take the necessary action. I don't know if you can really help me with regard to assessment of the audit committee's TV, because we normally do that as part of audit. From our side, what our recommendations were, because we do have engagements with the audit committee, I think recommendations moving forward is to maybe escalate those concerns that they have with regard to management and the accounting officer to the minister and to the portfolio committee in terms of what specifically that they want to see be seen done at the department, and then that would be our recommendation to escalate it. Because if you continue to ask the same people and you get no response, then you need to take it for the next step. And then with regard to the changing of programs and sub-programs, the framework does allow for you to change it, but only when it's a core change in the business form of the entity. It's not supposed to be at any point in time where you feel you can't achieve your targets or whatnot. So any changes obviously need to be approved by the executive authority, but they need to also be as a result of a core change in the mandate or the operations of the department. So you can't be in here changing your plan, otherwise there's no point in it being predetermined objectives. You need to report again plan target up front. So that is a question that obviously you need to ask the accounting officer and management in terms of what is necessary to plan, and if they actually fall within the confines of the framework, then you can only do it under the system. So if targets, if the same target was there and it's changed to a lesser target, then that is not, or should not happen. But it should be targets that are changed because there's a new service delivery objective or a service delivery objective might be moved or whatnot. But it can't be changing just in terms of the target figures with the same target.
My question is, despite the department briefing the committee during a quarterly report presentation that the audit plan was developed and implemented, the AG has found that there was insufficient monitoring thereof, and there is a contrast to what the department has briefed the committee on the 2015-16. And also that the AG was very clear on accounting and clear that the accounting officer and senior management did not exercise adequate oversight, responsibility regarding financial and performance reporting and compliance. To me, it seems as if the department is clever enough to late submit the necessary documents that are needed by the AG. My question is that, is there any time frame for the submission, or whether the time gives the department enough to correct what they have done wrong. Maybe
that is why this department has taken so long for it to get a disclaimer, because they're able to keep their status quo. For us and this portfolio committee is worrying, because we know that we have done our work to them. We have been able to investigate and tell them what to do. But it seems as if they are clever enough to submit, even though they find themselves submitting those financial statements that are not enough, that have no enough information to you. Are you doing what you are supposed to do as AG to make sure that this department, as well as the minister, they are doing what they are supposed to do? Because to us, as this portfolio committee, we have been talking so long about these issues. I fully agree with you that you are doing something around that, but to us, it seems as if this is not enough. Thank you.
Ethel, just as an addition, maybe just to make my head very clear, you're saying that you don't act like a teacher, you know, a person who has 60 and a 40 and a 20, and that 20 becomes your disclaimer, and the 40 becomes your qualifier, and the 60 becomes your qualifier. So you don't do that. Your disclaimer depends if this person does not give you the necessary documents that you need. Not that they are doing the job. Yeah. Yeah, so you're not teaching the children.
Well, we're not achieving. So why do we have an age? Because if people don't do what they're trying to do, actually you're not even police people. So it seems that we have created structures that are not helping government to perform. That is why when we were saying that when, you know, everything that the AG says is financially related, not performance driven. Yes. So we have created structures that are not helping us to deliver on the ground. Because if it's the same thing like an answer. Right? You know, there's this argument in Parliament that if you ask the minister a question and the minister does not give you the answer you require, but at the end of the day, they gave you an answer. They gave an answer. Because an answer, it can be wrong, it can be right. You see, it's exactly what the AG is doing. The people you require invoices of this money spent, and they give you invoices. It doesn't matter if those invoices are over expenditures or whatever, but that over expenditure does not disqualify that person for getting a mark 20% or a 40% or a 60%. Thank you very much. You have cleared my head. Thank you.
You're just doing your job.
Okay.
I think it's in a way that our reports are understood, because someone who obtains, for instance, the portfolio committee here, when you get a report that says unqualified but finding, not a fee for the report, we are not saying that the environment is a sound environment. We are saying there are material problems with regards to non-compliance, there are material problems with regards to their performance information. The unqualified part only talks to what they've reported in terms of the financial statement. So if you look at, for instance, this report on the Department of Women, and you see the material non-compliance with regard to the quality of the financial statement, with regard to their procurement, with regard to the irregular expenditure, that's supposed to say we are highlighting material elements. So maybe too much focus is on the fact that it's a clean audit, but you are just regarding the other fact that we are highlighting with regard to the non-compliance. And those are the areas where attention is needed. And secondly, with regard to the fact that the AG is only is not reporting on performance, the fact that we report on performance information to say you've reported 20% and 20% is accurate, or you've reported that you've achieved the target and we are saying we're validating that, yes, we have evidence for that target. So we're saying, yes, you now have credible information to go and make informed decisions about the entity. So now if the entity has reported that they've only achieved 40% of their target, then it's not for the AG to continue and say, to comment or to confirm the service level. That's for the Minister for the Portfolio Committee. You have now reliable information to take forward and make the necessary corrective action or remedial action or budgetary recommendation.
Actually, that is why maybe we are having the feeling that today the department is not doing well with unqualified report, with unqualified opinion. But almost every time, as Honorable Sege has said, that it has happened almost for a long time, you know. So that is why you didn't give them, you can't give them this disclaimer, etc., because they are able to correct what they have done wrong. But to us as this portfolio committee, it seems as if this department will, as it is not doing well. So we find it very difficult for us just to tell them what to do, because they are able to, by the end of the month, end of the year, to do and to correct what they are doing. Do you have any honourable members, any follow-up questions? Okay, can I give it to Kashif?
That we share the same frustration, but we are guided by the auditing standards which tell us exactly what we need to do. And those standards allow for the management to go back and revisit. So there's nothing within our power that we can do differently than we are currently doing. But we do highlight all the areas that management need to concentrate on. And that is brought to the portfolio committee and the audit committee. And that is our message.
I just wanted to check the issue of the audit committee. If we go to page 62 of our annual report, so there's five people in the audit committee for the department. But then look at the date of appointment. It says 21st of November 2015. And then three of them on the 1st of April. And then, but if you look at the previous page in terms of when they met. I just wanted to check with the AG, because if it's about the question is why didn't the audit committee pick up particular things? So I'm wondering if the AG found out within that audit committee within the same group of people throughout the year for 2016, or did it change? Because if somebody came in, for example, hypothetically, if the advocate William only came in November 2015, it would have meant that maybe the person missed the first three meetings in that financial year and only joined later on. But there's a discrepancy, because if you look at the previous page, it shows something different in terms of who met when. So maybe just some commentary about the audit committee, if you knew if there were the same set of people throughout that year. Thank you.
According to my understanding, it was the same people that were reappointed.
Also, to the AG, you have told us that there is the findings on the members of the staff that have been put on leave, that have been paid for 2 million, right? But I don't know whether do you have any information on whether do we have other recent areas that this is emanating from the department at the moment. No, I'm saying as the AG, we have noted that there is the staff that has been paid to me, which are not at work at the moment. Have the AG also know that there is any resignation in the department so far?
I think in terms of those resignations, one of the questions that I've asked in my paper, I'm just trying to look for the page now, is whether any of those staff who were under investigation or about to be under investigation were transferred out. Members will remember a few years ago there was the issue of the Fluxman's report and a number of staff that had been found to be non-compliant, and suddenly at the time of investigation all of those staff had been transferred to another department, which made the investigation very difficult. So I think the question that I've asked the department to answer is, where are those staff now that may have been investigated? Are they still at the department? And if they were on special leave, are they still there? And if they have been placed under suspension, what happened to those findings? So to make sure that, because the department reports as well that they've got an independent person to investigate expenditure, but I said, you know, this isn't the first time that this portfolio committee is hearing about such an investigation. How are we going to ensure it makes a difference this time? So that is something I'm just going to try and find. It's on page 47 of my paper. So I said, if all the two staff who were involved in those disciplinary hearings still employed, and if not, have they been transferred to another department? Because we know this is something that departments do. They move you before you get involved. It's very serious.
Okay, thank you very much to AG. I don't know whether you have any questions with regards to the question at the moment, or we're going to release the AG and then we will answer the question to the content of the message. Thank you very much, AG, for your presentation. Thank you. Honourable members, now we are going to ask the question to the content advisor.
the presentation that we have here on here. Because we have released the 18 now, we are coming to them. Okay, any questions?
When they briefed us in
quarter 2 around the audit improvement plan, they told us they would send warning letters to managers, but they don't actually specify which are those managers. So again, it makes it difficult for the committee when we don't ask more specific questions. But this department is small, so I think we should be, in terms of us having bites and doing things a little bit differently, we need to be much more specific and say, please give us more detail around when there's a translation, which was the program and what was the steps taken, and did you report it to the internal audit committee, and what did the audit committee say? We've never actually had, that's the other issue, we've never actually invited the audit and risk committee to come to the committee. And that's something we should also consider. We should be able to say, for the internal audit and risk committee, tell us what are the challenges that you've identified so that we could look, because remember it's only the CSO that talks to finances and the DG as the accounting officer. But we don't hear the perspectives from the audit committee, so that's probably another option for us to consider. So for me, the issue of oversight is we need to be much more specific, we need to ask for more detail, and also a time frame and deadline. For both the department and the CG has been better. They send us information that's outstanding. The department, if we probe them a lot and remind them, they eventually will, but it is months down the line. So we need to be clear about deadlines. So if the committee sees something, we say, please, within the next 10 working days, we want a written report sent to Melissa, and Melissa will circulate it to all members so that we can do a follow-up meeting. So I think maybe our oversight recommendations need to be a little more, much more stringent.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Answering your question on point 10 where they say no event has come to the attention of management. On page 63, the audit committee's report, on their annual report, it says the committee is of the opinion that the system of internal control in the Department of Women requires serious improvement. And on the next page, on 64, it says it has noted with concern the increase in the number of issues that were not resolved adequately by the department in the previous financial year. So for the department to say that they haven't been made aware, this is the internal audit committee has told the department you need to sort issues out, and they're saying, and the department is saying, there's nothing that they've been made aware of, which is either untrue or these reports were produced at different times. So just in terms of my analysis on page 23 and 24, there are some of those more specific questions like Kashifa recommends we ask. So I recommend that members ask on page 23, what steps have been taken to hold the accounting officer accountable for the failure to exercise adequate oversight responsibility, and so on. And on page 24, there's specific ones about the committee, when were these recommendations made, and if they weren't made, why not? So it is important to ask them for the details, because otherwise they're going to give us a wishy-washy answer.
have you made recommendation in the professorship? We're asking the same thing. We're asking the same thing in the department, and it does that those ones listen and these ones do not listen. You see? Because we were trying to help them to run the department the same way. And unfortunately it depends on the other one. If you receive a message and you don't want to change, there's nothing that we can do to change. So the department from the head downwards, you must remember, for a year the minister was not here. And it was different things that were happening. So the message, maybe the message went because there was no DG at the same time. And by the time CGE was themselves, right, because it was the same people coming from CGE. So obviously they will change. But you have people that were unstable, my colleague, that were unstable in management that we were talking to, and unfortunately were removed. So it means that we must hammer them like we hammered CGE, because now it is the new management that is there. You see? But we did the same thing with CGE. But the lucky part is that CGE never changed. It was the same people that came to the meeting. So when they come back, we'll say, we said this the last time. But with the department, the minister was never in our meeting. The DG was never regular in our meeting until they appoint this new DG. So the new DG is here. So just come the same thing, give a time frame, and say, by this time, this is what we want to do. And we're not going to accept this report. At some stage, we must even turn them back. Remember, the first ones, we refused even to meet them, but they left. But this one, we have been lenient on them. Yeah, so we just have to be strong.
Honorable Kaula?
I'll come back to you.
Angibamhlalo, ngikushilo ngithe angizokhuluma namhlanje. Ngiyaxolisa. Ekushayeni lonke la mina ngibona I'm sorry ukwenziwe isho ukuthi sifanele ukuthi siyadlala. Uyalima indima engayi phambili. Ngibona sengathi nakudlali kwanje ngesikhathi nokwezizali while sibe sithi sihlalele abantu besifazane nabakhubazekileyo ngoba abasizakali. Uminista abezila ngiyavumelana nozakwethu. Uminista fanele ngabe uyayihlupha. Bazoyihlupha kanjani laba bamele lo mnyango if uminista yena esithela ngamazakadayo. Kuyimanje fanele ngabe uhambela amakhaya. Kwenziwe izibizo, kutshelwa abantu bafundiswe nangomnotho, balime nobafuye. Yebo, ngabe kokuthatha imali sizohlala la emahotela nosikhuluma into esingazi ukuthi sithini ngazo. Ngoba uyama ubheka la imali zisebenzile, kodwa ubazi zisebenze kanjani, azilawuli lwakho nezisebenzayo, kuthi ukuthi zisebenzile. Ingenelezanga ngisho i-authority ukuthi isebenze. Ngaleyo ndlela bengicela mina ukuthi eke sibheke thina la ukuthi sokwenza kanjani ukuthi abhalele incwadi. Ngengakusho lokho ukuthi uminista iyafunele ikomiti ukuthi elibhalele incwadi ukuze abone ukuthi njengoba asizile ukuzodlala la. Yena ma ngabe uyamxaka lo mnyango akabuyela eceleni. Bathatha abanye abazoqhubeka noma iy'mali ezinikezwe lelikomiti kube yilona ezoya abantu kuyimanje ethekwini ade kukunde mashi enkulu kabi yamakhosikazi abafelokazi mina bengicela nje ngesenzeni even kuyimanje le nto eliyibona emnyango yey'ngane zesikole iyakuthinta umuntu wesifazane because iy'ngane ezigcwele lapha ezilimalayo ney'shaya intoyintoyo lapha emgwaqweni ziphuma kuthini. Asitsheleni ukuthi yini inxaxheba ayithathayo uthini ngalokho. Ngiyabonga.
In summary, the honourable member said that she wasn't going to speak today, but she's changed her mind and she expressed her feelings. She feels that this is a waste of time. This committee money invited for or money given to the department or to this department, but it's spent fruitlessly, it's fruitless expenditure. And she said that the minister is hardly over here and the minister does not take this committee seriously. She said instead of this money being spent in other manners, they should be meeting in Bezo where women are taught in agriculture, where women are empowered, where women are given skills that are going to take them forward. She said that there is a budget, but this budget doesn't assist women because money is wasted, it's budgeted for their projects which are started but they are not finished, and so on and so forth. And she said that maybe it's time that this committee takes action. Maybe this committee must write to the minister and reprimand them, ask them to come in. Because the minister does not seem to take this committee seriously. She even said that if it's too hot in the kitchen, the minister should get out of the kitchen because it doesn't seem like she is serious. She also expressed the fact that there was a huge widow's march in Durban, which also affects women. And then the last point she made was, she was referring to this Feed Must Fall campaign. She said it affects women because these children have mothers out there. So what is the minister or what is the department doing with regard to this, because it's a national problem? Thank you very much.
Okay. Results, but we're not getting those reports. And that's the difficulty.
If they have that, you're able to choose. You know, if they have their activities in detail, you are able to tell National Treasury, because we are at a point when National Treasury has to give them more money. But if we don't have anything tangible that we can show, they won't be, and they are saying, this department is underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in one report they give details, in another they don't. And that's what CGE has done now.
Yeah.
The CGE is consistently giving us clear actions that we wanted from the beginning. So if the department was reporting like that, it was going to be easy for us to push National Treasury to give them more money.
I think this will alleviate any of your frustrations about the Auditor General, but in terms of just take on now, that's fine. But in addition to the financial statements that the Auditor General looked at, the department had 5 pages in this annual report that weren't submitted to the Auditor General. And so, what the only thing that the Auditor General can do in that regard is to say, I haven't seen it, and so I don't have an opinion on whether those are material or qualified or unqualified. So I have included for members on page 20 of my analysis questions about exactly what were those and why weren't they submitted. Because as with the name changes and the program changes, all this information does, it makes it harder for us to see what is actually happening at the department. And this has been happening for many years to the point where it almost feels like it's deliberately happening so we can't track what's happening with the department. And so,
we're going to say now, okay, now enough, we've done enough of changing, now
yeah.
It's stick with that so that we can actually have a proper reporting out of the 5 years. But now it's like, this is the third year, and we're going to say, yeah, and we're still changing the programs, we're changing the sub-programs.
Yeah.
Who guides us? That's what I was asking the auditor.
And even between the previous ABP and this ABP, there's a lot of targets that just say discontinued without any real reason. I'm sure they presented to the committee during the course of the year on some of the reasons why, but you had all these targets and you've abandoned most of them, which means they're not achieved. And then you've introduced these new targets which haven't built on some work you may have done. So you didn't achieve those because you were still catching up. And now your targets from this year, last year, are coming to 2016-17, where you already have new targets. Now you're not going to achieve those ones either. And is the committee going to be able to track 2015-16 targets in a 2016-17 annual report period? Not likely, because you can't sit with everything the department has ever written for you to look at and monitor. So it does feel a bit like they're making it deliberately confusing for you to be able to see what to ask.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
They don't even have the decency of reporting to this committee that they have changed an APP. So you can't follow it.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to pick up on the point that the Minister never attends. I know they have cabinet meetings on a Tuesday, but that is a disadvantage to us because the Minister's not present. And I just wonder, how involved is she with the department? Is all this changing of APPs and everything else, the programs and so on, is this done just by the DG and the people working there, or is the minister actually accountable, or is she responsible for it so that we can ask her questions? So if she comes to the meeting, which we would dearly like this afternoon, you know, what does she know about it? How can one establish this?
Okay, to respond on this, Honourable Members, the Minister was supposed to attend the cabinet meeting today. And so she has made an apology to the cabinet. So that is why she is coming this afternoon today for the panel report. So I think the questions that you have asked, Honourable Members, are all relevant. And I think
because we are going to lunch, all these questions that you have asked the department, all these questions are going to be asked to the department for them to respond on these questions that you have been asking, that you have been asking the, our team. But looking at that, I don't know, Kashiba, that maybe the three of you, if you can give us the advice what to do at the portfolio committee, because you know the failure of the department, the failure of us as the portfolio committee to doing oversight on the department. So, because there are things that we used to hear from the media, it has been said by the minister, which those things are not even reported to the portfolio committee. For instance, we have heard that the minister is going to start the dialogues in Limpopo, but our portfolio committee, we don't have this information. So the other thing is around the issue of the, as the portfolio committee, we know that the city here has got the legal clinics all over the country. But we don't know whether are we doing, the department is doing the duplicate on what the CGE is doing. Because for now they are saying that no, they are going to the provinces now for a community dialogues. Maybe this is where we are going to find where the department stands, what is the work of the department. Because all over the country, women are asking ourselves, why, what are you doing? As women, we've got these challenges, this and that, and that. But we have heard that there are things that the department should do, because when the president gave the directive to all the departments, he said that the department must make sure that the women's challenges are faced head on. So now we don't see any action that is done by this department in asking other departments what you are doing. Except to say that when we had a fourth quarter report, the department said that no, we have managed to meet other departments. But for now we don't have the report that whatever those departments are doing so far. Because we're always talking about the gender responsive budgeting and the focal point that this department want to see other departments doing the same in making sure that those monies that are given to the department, they are being used. For instance, we are now talking about the Honorable Kaula is saying that there are women leaders. Those women leaders, they want a response. They want to know exactly what the department or the government is doing with regards to their challenges. But at the same time, and not only those widows, we have women in rural areas who don't even know that there is a department of women. And there is this issue of the economic development that the president is always talking about, that the women should be empowered economically as well as educationally. But we haven't seen anything that has been done by the department to make sure that the Department of Higher Education is going there offering skills to the women in rural areas, the Department of Economic Development as well as DTI is looking at the issue of these cooperatives that are all over the country which are not functioning, the Department of Social Development. You know that the Department of Social Development is the one that has been given the responsibility to look at the issues of people with disabilities. But what we find out now is that even the disabled persons on the ground, they don't see the department doing anything to them, except to say, no, we are offering you disability grants, then that's what we are doing. And the issue of the support grants, women, they don't now, we don't want our women to depend on government programs only, but we want the women to do something for themselves.
Now we are talking about the issue of CGE saying that there is one woman, one set, one woman, one hectare. But even now, but women, women, one hectare. But you don't see this implemented by the Department of Rural Development, except to say that the rural development is doing its job in the rural areas. But when it comes to women emancipation, we don't see anything that is happening there, especially with around the issue of land. And when we ask the department and the minister about this program of the CGE, one woman, one hectare, the minister is always saying, no, I'm not, I can see this, but I'm against it because women should have land, not even one hectare, because women should have farms, women should have development, but we can't see this department doing monitoring and evaluating what other departments have done. Thank you.
I think just in closing, as we go to lunch, but what can we do differently? So we only have three programs. I think going forward, for the next quarterly report, we should ask, and maybe we ask for 2 days of meetings. So the first day is a general, and on the second day we have program one. We'll ask specific stuff, like if you want to know more about internal control, and get the audit committee to present. They come in. Program two, they get, irrespective if something is draft or halfway, get the department to talk to, present that gender monitoring framework. Tell us what are the indicators. Then the committee can say, that doesn't make sense, and give input. Gender responsive budgeting. Give, irrespective if that framework is a draft, put something. Send something to NILESWA, let the committee see so that the members can get input and say, because otherwise if you get to wait an entire year for something to be complete, problematic. So under program two, I've got four things that they should come to us with. The gender monitoring framework, the gender responsive budgeting, and then there were two other things. In terms of the 9-point plan, tell us what is your analysis so far? What are you finding? Even if it's halfway through, it doesn't matter. Give us some input, because we've engaged with departments, and we can probably tell you more about Operation Pakisa than what departments actually know, because we've engaged. The status of women's report. Let that sub-program come in and say, out of these 21 departments, this is the 9 report, and this is what we've come back with. So that's program two. For program three, it's really around stakeholder coordination events and campaigns. Let the department come again and say, you know what? What have you done in this quarter? Give us in detail. Talk to us about the two campaigns that you've done and the national dialogue. Who was there? What was identified? Because that's what we've done with the CGE. And I think that's what members are asking. So I think for the department, we need to be very, very specific. The programs need to present what are they currently busy with. And even if something is dropped, the committee can still do oversight of, and in order to get an understanding of what they're currently busy with, and where we can probably guide and give advice and make recommendations. So I think that's how going forward for our oversight needs to be different. Our time with the department should be more, not only with the DG and the CFO, but actually programs, people who are actually doing the work, they need to present to you so that you can get an understanding and give feedback.
And also the fact that the department is able to spend 100% of the budget and yet not been able to achieve the target. So how Because I've heard some people say to me, I've given you 20, I'll give you 20 rand to clean this room, but as you were only cost of this room, but a 20 rand is gone. Does it make sense also as well? I think we need to have clarity on that.
I think it's because they spend most of their budget on the compensation of employees. So if I come to work today, whether I do my work or not, I still get my salary. So the department is still spending money on me. The only thing they can do is at the end of the year say, you're not getting a bonus or you need to do these things. But they've still spent the money because I had that salary. So if the department's budget was allocated on activities, so if they said we're going to conduct an imbizo, it costs this much, we're going to spend this much on chairs, then you would be able to say they have the imbizo, it costs things, so an action had to happen. But if the money is just for salaries, whether those people perform or not, that money is spent and you can't get it back. Their budget for salaries is extremely high, and many of the staff are at very high levels. I'm going to try and find the page that on the report so you can have a look at exactly how much is spent there.
Okay, then we have to look at the HR.
Only one of these is working.
Then we really have to look at the HR, because if their performance is not measured. Because the issue of target is also an issue that we have to be confident that they're not meeting their target.
Yeah.
So now we also have to look at that question. Say, you know, okay, the targets are not being met. Where are they falling short? Specifically, what is it that they're doing? I'm very much for the idea of Kashifa. I don't know if we should have a day whereby we look at program one.
Mm.
And say, okay, because also the number of staff. There's a lot of irregularity of how many staff we have. So we can have the staff that's allocated, not the staff, but the management for program one coming in and reporting. And then we can interrogate. I think it's going to take us maybe a couple of days to do that. But maybe we really need to interrogate the different programs and say what is it that you're doing. And then we can be able to have a better idea of what it is.
Yes, no, we fully agree with Honorable Manchese on the issue of inviting each and everyone, of programs. Because we have said this before, that we want each and every director to come and present what they are doing in their programs. But I think the committee will make sure that we, secretariat, will make arrangement for that, so that we can meet with each and need to meet and know what exactly each and every program is doing.
So that table of the staff and the salaries is page 68 of the annual report. Of this one, yeah. So if we look at the table on page 68, table 3.1.2, we see that the department spends 63 million of its 120 million budget on salaries. That's more than half. And that of those, there are 36 employees at a senior management level, and their average cost is 1 million per employee. So below this, of the 124 employees, 36, or more than a quarter, is at a senior management level. Okay, so that table just details what salary band they're at.
Yeah,
and then on the next column is how much did they spend on that, and then they break it down. So if they spend 775 and one person there, there's 9 people there, it means those 9 people cost 86,000 rand each. But when we go to the very last line where it says senior management, they spend 37,899,000 rand on senior management. 59% of their staff cost, and there were 36 people who were at a senior management level at 1 million rand each. My earlier information, I had written it in my paper, but it's about 1, 2, 3. So we have 36, 36 senior managers, and then we have less than 100 divide them up there. Yeah. So obviously not exactly like that in the way that the department is structured. But but in any department, if you were to think about the department as a business, and you said we've got 36 people and each of you must make sure 3 people do their job, and yet we're still not able to do that, there's something wrong. It's obviously not how the structure works exactly, but it's a question that you should be asking. Pardon? 1,024,000
per annum.
Yeah. So, but that's also an average unit cost, so that's not exact, because some of those 36 will be paid a little bit more than that, and some of them will pay a little bit less than that. So it's difficult to match this to the estimates of national expenditure in the budget that we see, which would be a more accurate estimate, but this is, they give you these averages, so you can't really tell how much the top person is being paid. That's on page number 73 of the annual report. It's table 3.4.4. 3.4.3 and 3.4.4. 73. Yeah. So they did a skills audit during the year. They had an external consultant come in and check if people were in the right salary band and had the right skills to do the job. And these two tables tell us that there were people who weren't necessarily in the right category. Some were below and some were above. And then it tells you in the last column of table 3.4.3, which is the upper table, the reason for the deviation. So most of them, six of eight, refer to the organizational transformation. One is because they wanted to keep somebody in the job, so they paid them a little bit more so they didn't leave. And one is they wanted somebody to come in quickly. Sorry, on page 73, at the very top, is a table, the last column of that table, on the right-hand side. So those are the reasons why they've paid people more than they should be paid according to their job or their performance category.
So that's like they find themselves with that
person who doesn't
fit the skills, but then they keep them.
Yeah, so I can only guess, because I haven't listened, Kashifa will probably be able to give more information, but my understanding would be that when they restructured, sometimes, so for example, if we restructured our team now, and they found Kashifa was too good for the position she's in, she had to go somewhere else, but we need someone to go into Kashifa's post because otherwise the committee won't be able to, they'll move me there, even though I'm not necessarily, I'm going to get paid Kashifa's salary, but maybe I shouldn't be because I'm not that good, or I'm not as good as her. So they move people around so they don't lose people. And it doesn't give very many details of retrenchments, and that is a question that I've included in the paper, is normally when you restructure, you find the programs that don't exist, there isn't any reason to keep this person on, so they are retrenched. But we don't see that in the report. So I asked what happened to those people who didn't fit in the restructure, because we need to know. And Kashifa, do you want to add on that?
I think the other important thing is, Jane also referred to the job evaluation. Remember? Job evaluation, that if you go to page 70 of the page 4. Alright.
So it's
72. Job evaluation. Only 11 were evaluated out of 111. So they've done a skills audit. So they're telling us, don't worry, we've looked at all our staff, we've done a skills audit, we've got a consultancy, everyone's in the right place. But technically, they evaluated 11 out of 111, and more than 111. So the other question I had in my document was, how are we reconciling the two? You've done a skills audit, you've checked what is required, you've reassured the committee, we are now on the right track. But you evaluated 11 out of 111, so...
It's one of those things, they are used to fulfill their own target. So if they have they pay, that would be my question, if you pay the consultant,
yes,
the how much do you pay them?
Then in the PowerPoint presentation, I think, if I could remember correctly, it was under 500,000 that they paid for the skills audit. I think under correction. But I think the question to be asking the department is, you've done a skills audit, you've reassured us the structure is now in place, but you've actually only evaluated 11. And you've indicated that in 1670 you're going to look at the rest. So again, it's the impact of the target. How do we know from the other 100 that they're actually in the right place doing the right thing in order to deliver going forward? So there's a disjunction between the two.
The details of that screening, I just found them. They're on page 87. On page 87 of the department's annual report, there's a table at the top. Page 87, the very top table. The second to last row on that very top table says skills audit. It says that there were 3 consultants who worked on the skills audit for 40 days, and they were paid R495,000. Later on in the next table, it says the skills audit,
page
number 87, at the very top, the second to last row, it says skills audit under project title. Skills audit, yes. So there's 3 staff. And they worked for 40 days, so they took 40 days to examine 11 job positions, and they were paid R495,000. So the use of consultants is very interesting, because sometimes people employ consultants to do the jobs of their ordinary staff, but we're not seeing that in the department being positive. If you have a look at the duration of days, most of them are short-term contracts, so they, in theory, they've employed someone who's an expert in this to try and fix a problem. But in this particular case, they, as you're saying, it seems like they've only done 10% of the job. So there's a question to ask. Would it take you 400 days to do the rest? Or
5 million.
But the thing is, you never know. It may have been a situation where one of those consultants' job was to train the internal committee to do the same thing. Do their job contract. So it could have been, we don't know what the consultants did, so that might also be worth asking. Maybe they came in and they did training with the HR team to make sure they could properly do their job. So, but we can't tell that from here. We can only tell that when the department, when we ask. Okay. Sorry, I'll send it off again.
Okay. We just need clarity from the department. Because maybe the skills auditing was something much more broader. The job evaluation was actually done internally, but for me, how do the two correlate? Is it one and the same? Is it separate? We can come in as consultants and we can do an audit of what are you, and we can give you a report. So in this room, the X amount of male to female, higher degrees, lower degrees, and this is of the competencies. But to do an actual job evaluation means I need to spend some time with Ms. Marchese and look at what are you doing, are you best fit. So it could technically be 2 different things.
But then at the bottom, then I don't want to say, right under these audits, you have verification of qualification.
I think that might be when you apply for a job, they check your CV. I mean, we don't know, but that's, I think because it's very cheap, it's only R2,000. So
but then how is it, okay, maybe I don't understand the role, because skills audit would be...
It should be done at the beginning.
And also you'd be like, what is the CV, what qualifications do you have? Oh, okay, fine now, let's find out what skills.
Your HR can verify
Yeah.
Do you have to hire a consultant?
I don't know. And also what's of concern is it says it's intermittent. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't even tell us how many days in the year they asked someone to do those telephone calls. It just says intermittent.
And the psychological assessment, who are they assessing?
Maybe the people who are on special leave, I don't know. It doesn't say. Yeah. It seems that if you ask one of these types of questions of the consultant, you get a lot more questions than answers. So these are worthwhile.
And
yeah.
And also the interpreters and translators.
I don't know if it's maybe...
Because
like
we're very highly qualified
people. Yeah. It might be for events.
Maybe for events.
It might be for events, or if they get a sign language interpreter, or
this
if they have a...
PowerPoint presentation under one of the campaigns. They list the interpreters and the
Okay.
Honourable members, it's lunch time. Can you folks please go for lunch?
That's
good. I don't know.